My name's Mark Gay, and you're listening to the Palace Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the official Crystal Palace podcast. I'm Will Robinson, and today we're casting our minds back 3 decades to a very special opening day of the season. The date is August the 15th, 1992, and on the surface, it's just another sunny South London afternoon like any other. The sounds of studs clattering on concrete, the laughter from the dressing rooms, and the distant chatter of fans filling the stands. But this is no normal Saturday. In fact, it's the very first weekend of the Premier League. 30 years on, I sat down with Mark Bright to talk about Palace's opening day 6-goal thriller, how his move to Sheffield Wednesday shortly after makes the memories a bit bittersweet, and the impact of the Premier League in 30 years since.
The Premier League just changed football completely. I think most players would admit that you could walk down your street probably or in town and not get recognised, to everyone seemed to recognise you. Live games, Monday night football, Sunday football. It was really exciting times. It was just wall to wall football. Football shows, the boot room, and yeah, so
looking forward to the next season more. Looking forward to that 1993 season.
Right, so you didn't know what to expect, but you saw all these things. Right, they're going to have Monday night football, they're going to have Sunday football again. Right, so wow, this is going to change everything, because everyone used to kick off at 3 o'clock on a Sunday. Everyone used to kick off at 3 o'clock on the Saturday. So when no one didn't like playing on 3 o'clock on Saturday. You didn't like playing in the Sunday game at first, because it offsets your week, but it was all stuff we had to just get used to, and it was revolutionised football. It was marketed really well, adverts across the television, across billboards, and you know, massive pictures all around your town of your stars. So
that's the thing. Even before the first game, did you feel it was like?
Yeah, well, you just saw things. You just thought, oh my, yeah, you know, driving along, then you see adverts or you know billboards, and so you always look forward to the start of the season regardless. So I was always looking forward to the start of the season, and then this machine come along, this juggernaut, and like, yeah, it just carried people along, and the gates seemed to improve and everything seemed to improve.
Did you know at this point this might be one of your last Palace games?
No, not at all. I never thought, oh, this will be my last season or anything like that. It was just go and see the manager, he wants to see you. Sheffield Wednesday's made a bid, and we've accepted. If you want to go and speak to them, it's up to you. If you want to stay, stay. If you want to go, go. I think it was 4 games in. So, quiz question, how many Premier League goals did he score for Palace? One.
Yeah. And in this game?
Yeah.
So at this point, yeah, you're very much focused on Palace. This
is... Well, I think what you do is, like everybody, you look at the fixture list when they come out, and you kind of went, well, Blackburn at home, and you thought, right, they're trying something new there. You know, Jack Walker, I think it was Jack Walker, yeah. Kenny Dalglish obviously going in there, and some big summer buys. Shearer being the main one, that, you know, leaving Southampton and going to Blackburn, and you're thinking, what's he doing? He eventually got it together, Kenny, didn't he? Yeah, and they had a great season. So with Blackburn at home, we thought, you know, right, be a good test, you know, big money move for Shearer, a lot of attention. But it's a game that you think, right, beat them.
Did you know, like, did you come up against Shearer a few times for that? Know what it's about?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we played Southampton in a behind closed door game, and like, he was like a young one, and he was quite young, and he was like put himself about, as they say, and we had 2 experienced centre halves on the pitch at the time, and he was knocking them about, and it was like half time, are you going to let that kid knock you about? He's like, because he was aggressive and he was determined, he had drive, and you know, he's not big, Shearer. You know, when you're in his company, he's not that big, but he's phenomenal player, obviously went on to set the record and it'd be hard to beat. But yeah, he was a force, definitely.
So first game of the season, when you're in the tunnel, is it just excitement to get going again?
It's the same excitement as you feel in the opening game. I think all players like to play in that opening game. All those pictures that are taken on that opening day with the sun shining, the grass is perfect, the strips are all new. That's what you always look forward to, and you always gutted if you miss that first game or if you're not in the starting 11. So that was always the thing. You want to, the pre-season, everything is geared to building up to that first game, making sure you're fit and you don't get no blisters or getting any pulled muscles or anything like that. And then when it comes, because obviously it's not your first season, you know exactly what to expect, and you tell the young ones, you know, stay focused, keep calm, do this, you know. You're just handing out all the information to them. So, so you always look forward to that first game, and it's always an exciting game. And I always used to think, right, let me score in that first game. Get me off the mark, you know, get me a goal, one game. That's always your intention as a striker. And mainly, try and win your first game. Don't be the last team in the league to win a game. You know, oh, they're struggling, they've played three without a win. So, you know, as a player, just to, you know, with the team, we all get together and, you know, let's make sure we don't lose, make sure we try and get a win and all that. You can, talking about it now, it just takes me right back to thinking how you used to be before the game. But the opening game of the season is always a great fixture to play in, and, you know, and general excitement, expectations high from everybody then. Nobody's got anything to moan about, you know.
And it's a team full of big characters, that one, as well, just looking at.
Ours?
Yeah.
Yeah. Core, Ubler, Nigel, John Humphreys, Richard Shaw, Youngie, Chrissy Coleman played, Gareth Southgate played, John Solarco, myself. I think I played up front with Chris Coleman. I think Steve Coffin might have played up front with Chris Coleman. But we always had characters. Jeff, skipper. We had lots of character in the team, and drive and determination. And as per now, the never say die attitude just was installed in us, just to keep going and keep going and keep going. And when you turn games around, you kind of add more belief in yourself. So when the main thing is, you look in the tunnel or you look in the changing room before you kick off, and you think, right, what have we got in the changing room? Yeah, we've got enough. Obviously, Ian had gone then, had gone to Arsenal, so. You know, obviously, I think Steve said to me, it's a big season for you because everyone will be looking at you, and can you do without him? Because, you know, he's gone to Arsenal, and can he do without you? So it was an extra determination from myself.
And then, what, 37 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Opening game, that's what I say, like, you just want to score in that opening game. It was a header, far post. I think it was Shawzy. Shawzy come inside, crossed it with his right foot, and it was like, I just headed it down. I think it bounced, and Bobby Mims kind of, like, got to it but couldn't keep, bounced under him sort of thing and squirmed in. So and in the air, back to the halfway line, start again.
And at that point, all going well.
Yeah.
So they, what I mean, just in general, what are your memories from that game? Because it's a bit of a, looking at the scores.
Shearer's goals. Shearer's goals, because obviously the fee went for and everyone's talking about him. And he hit a come inside off the left hand side. Hit one towards Holmesdale. I think he went to the top corner. I think his other one maybe was a similar thing where he ran across the goal and cut it back on himself, reversed it, I think. So, and then I think Simon Osborne, I think he came off the bench and he grabbed one right at the end of the game, and it was like, phew, that's a close one, you know.
And Southgate's.
Yeah, Southgate won from the edge of the box. Bobby Mims punched it, I think. Not great, it bounced. Then Gareth kind of, I don't know if he chested it or he just leant back and laced it and, like, you know, made the ball turn over. It dipped and went in. It was, it was a really good shot from the edge of the box, because I think it was Gareth playing in midfield. I think he might have been playing in midfield.
Did he score goals like that often?
No, it was a good, it was a great strike. It's, No, obviously his main position was, he started off right back when he was young and then came into centre defence, played midfield sometimes when needed, etc. So, no, but had the technique to do it, had the ability.
Mm. I mean, when you're playing up front on one side and Shearer's on the other, is there a personal rivalry between the strikers?
No, you just want to score. You want to outscore anybody, that's how you judge. You know, right, he's gone for that money, let's see what he can do. Oh, you know, he's winning already, 2-1. But the main thing, as you know, is the result. You know, yes, of course, your personal tally at the end of the season counts because your goals to games follows you around, and it's your stamp, really. So you just want to match somebody, right? Let me see how many goals he'll score, and let me see how many goals I'll score. But he won that one, that's for sure.
I'm Wilfried Zaha. You are listening to the Palace Podcast.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, no idea then it would be the final Palace goal.
No, not at all. No. And then it was a bizarre situation and confusing and like. I don't know, because you don't expect it, because these days your agent tells you everything, who's in for you, they're going to make an offer, do you definitely want to go, and all these things. In that day, in my days back then, 92, the manager pulled you in the office and just said, we've had a bid, and go and speak to the club, see what you think. And so you kind of go, what, like now, or do I train or what? And they said, no, you can go home and make your way and go and see him. It was really bizarre, and it was a confusing week for me as well, because after the season had started, my mindset was kind of like focused on doing really well, and then I'm on my way up the motorway in the car and talking and negotiating with Sheffield Wednesday, and then you kind of shake hands and agree things, then you come back, phone the manager, came back home, got a bag, packed some things, because you have to go to the training ground to get your boots and everything, say some hurried goodbyes. I mean, you've been there for six, you've been over at a club 6 years, and then you don't have a chance to say goodbye. It's right, bizarre. And then you're somewhere else. Yeah, and I just trained terribly the first day. I trained so bad because I questioned what I was doing. I thought, I'm making a mistake here. I shouldn't be leaving Palace. I'm making a mistake. And I think a bit of self-doubt crept in, and then in the end you it's one of those situations where you have to, this is a transfer and this is it, it's permanent, you know. And then I trained so badly, the player shouted to the manager, Trevor Francis, to stop the check. we were doing some shooting or something, and I didn't have my head on, just I couldn't get my grasp what was going on. And I said to the manager, I said, oh, I'm really sorry about today. I'll be okay tomorrow. He goes, you'll be fine, don't worry. And then the next day I was okay. I was all right in training. And then you put a different strip on for the first time in ages, and obviously you feel strange. But then we got a result, and I came back down, and I kind of came to the club and saw everybody, and then, you know, started to move stuff up there. Yeah. But I didn't realise, you know, that was it. That was going to be... You know, it's the last goal you'll score for the club.
Just after that 3-3, did it feel different post-match? Was there much more kind of coverage?
There was commitments, wasn't there? Yeah, there was commitments to sort of doing interviews and then seeing highlights, seeing the Sunday game, and then seeing on Monday night the boot room analysing different things about, you know, the goals and things like that. You thought, wow, this is kind of stuff only we used to see. We in the club would see, you know, see the... be analysing ourselves, our defensive things, we'd see all that, all the tactical side of it. And now you've got sort of Andy Gray in the boot room with an ex-manager or player or something, talking about shape and position and tactics and rotation and everything. And I thought it was really good for the fans to get a better insight. So there was lots of things that really worked well. You know, more cameras at the game, I think, 25 cameras at the game, I think it was. A live game for sure. And just more wall-to-wall coverage and more football. I mean, you never know what you'd say. You'd have too much football. But it was revolutionary. You don't forget, you'd go match of the day, like the big game on a Saturday, if you're old enough, or Sunday, if you remember that. The FA Cup final, the only live game, and the Champions League final, which was obviously the European Cup, the only live game. So the two live games a year would be the FA Cup and the Champions League final. Everything else, now you've got wall-to-wall live games. So that was the thing, where then you start to say, if you have a bit of a nightmare, you know everyone's going to see it and everyone's going to... Whereas on a Saturday, if you win 1-0, and you don't play very well, nobody sees that because the highlights are like 3 minutes and you might flick one on or you might tap one in. But for all those live games, definitely you thought, oh, we could get exposed here.
And just finally, yeah, does it feel weird that it's going to be 30 years?
Yeah, massively. Massively, because you're there at the start and then you're there at this anniversary, the 30th anniversary, where, you know, players' careers have started, they've flourished, and then they've come to the end. And all those players, I mean...
Like Patrick, the
gaffer's the same. It's the last player I think I was played with is just retired.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's Jermaine Defoe. So he was the last one at Charlton, I think. There was Konchesky, Parker, Defoe, and they used to train with the first team when they were young. And they were, you know, obviously they were all very good. And Defoe was like at school when he came and trained. So he's the last one. I don't think there's anybody else in my, when I was playing, I've played, trained with or whatever, that's still playing. So, yeah, so you think how big that divide is from me retiring to we're now celebrating 30 years of the Premier League. And in my opinion, I've travelled over the world and that, it's so popular and it's one of our greatest exports, and it's, you know, you're proud to have played in it and then you're proud to work in it because it's the best.
Well, what a 3 decades it has been since. And with the success of the brand new academy and the young first team squad, who knows what the future might hold. That's all for this episode of the Palace Podcast. Remember, you can get all your regular Palace news on cpfc.co.uk or by following the club on social media via Twitter, Instagram, and yes, even TikTok. Thanks very much to those who tuned in, and we'll see you next time.